a song like that today without thinking about Charlie Kirk making a mark. You want your life to count for something. So easy to get caught up thinking these things are important in life, the things that I gave my time and my effort to in this life for years. It's amazing. Just wanted to count for something. Go, if you have your Bibles, go to 2 Kings. Get 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 2. And when Dilbert had told me that he was going to be out a few weeks, different times, I had been studying about Elisha and thinking about Elisha. And the Lord gave me just a little series of messages there that I'd be able to get a hold of and be able to do while Dilbert was gone. And a matter of fact, make sure you're praying for Brother Dilbert. He's still there in Joplin, Missouri, up there with Brother Brad Friesen. And keep him in your prayers as he'll be finishing up, I suppose, today and then getting back. And then he'll be flying back here. And so he'll be here back Monday, I suppose. But keep him in your prayers. Keep him in your prayers. All right, here in 2 Kings, what's going on, 2 Kings chapter 2, what's going on here and where I left you at the other night, on Wednesday night, was in verse 14. Let's read verse 14. It says, "And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over." And so that's where we were at the other night, and we were talking about the fact that Elisha, after that, during that struggle there that I preached on, that at the end of it, he took what God had called him to do, and he took that power that he received by looking up and staying the course, and he got that power, and he went forward serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And Elisha there made his mark. He made his mark on the world. And for the next 13 chapters through here, the next 12, 13, 14 chapters with Elisha, it's a whirlwind. I mean, it is on. And Elisha there, when you look at his life and see what type of life he had, he was totally sold out to the Lord. Totally sold out to the Lord. And you see that there. You see that through the stories that was going on. And you can't help but sit there and think, man, give me some of that. Give me some of what Elisha had. Elisha was looking at Elijah, and he said, give me some of that. Not just some of it. I want it all. I don't just want it all. I want twice as much as Elijah had. When he decided he was going to go do something for the Lord, he said, I'm in. I'm done with the world. I'm fixed with the world. I'm finished with it. It has no more allure to me. It has no more distractions to me. I'm selling out to the Lord. You never hear him one more time ever mention those oxen that he was plowing with, or the good old days back when I was plowing those fields, or I miss mom and dad, or any of that stuff. You know what he said? He said, I'm called to go do something for the Lord, and that's where I'm headed to. I started off this series of messages, and I talked about the surrender of Elisha. And I talked about basically using that as a type of a Christian, or a type of a lost person being saved, and having that call of God on their life, about things that are referred to in Sunday school this morning, about living your life as a Christian. And not so much as a specific job that we all have. We can all get a specific job. And use an example of Brother Steve there with the sign ministry. That's something that he's called of God to do. But he's also called to live like a Christian, along with the rest of us. And as Elisha there, Elisha lived his life. He completed his life. He was successful with his life. And if you're going to do that, and you can look at him as an example, we can go through these series of messages here realizing it's not just a specific job, although it can be that way and you can look at it that way. It's also just the general idea of a Christian and what we're supposed to do as a Christian. What the world looks at us for, as I was saying in Sunday school this morning, as the world looks at us, there should be some expectations. There should be some expectations of people, of carnal Christians or lost people in this world, that are looking to you, how you react to certain things when your life goes off the rails, or when you go through troubles and trials, and they're looking at you. If you look at and you if you react just like they do, then you ain't got nothing no better than what they got. And so there's some expectations, and that's what I'm trying to get to this morning. Again, as a Christian, God expects some things from you as a Christian. Ways you're supposed to act. The way you're supposed to react to situations. I've had things go on in my life. Had people lie about me. I mean, had a few years ago, just a rough situation I went through. Not only did I lose my job, but then I had people lie about what happened that had no idea what went on that I had to deal with. And my kids were like, man, Dad, we're going to, you know, they wanted to defend Dad. You know what I'm saying? My wife wanted to defend me, and I said, listen, stop. No. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to handle this like a Christian. How are we supposed to handle this? God's got our back. God's in control of things. We're going to do what God wants us to do, and we're going to continue on regardless. And that's what I'm saying here. As Christians, where God's got some expectations. And when lost people look at you, they want to say, how, man, look at how they handled that situation. And so as Elisha, first, that surrender of Elisha, talking about his sanctification and his separation from the world is what I preached on. Last time I preached on the struggle of Elisha, last Wednesday night, and talked about the fact that he was faithful for at least 10 years, pouring water on the hands of Elijah, waiting his opportunity when God was going to give him that opportunity to go do what he was going to go do. And there's a waiting period. There's a time he sat there with Elijah and he looked at Elijah. He looked at what Elijah did and how he handled the situation. But for 10 years there, he knew God had a call on his life. He knew he was ready to take over, but he didn't jump the gun. But he didn't wait too long either. He was ready to go when it was time to go. He didn't look back and say, well, you know, I just ain't for sure if I want to go do this. I ain't for sure, you know, I got so much going on here where I'm at right now, and I kind of got a comfortable lifestyle. It wasn't none of that. It was. I'm going to be faithful to pour water on the hands of Elijah. And when it's time for me, I'm going to do it. And those people tried to stop him. They were saying, don't go with him today. He's taking Elijah out of here. And it showed, we talked about the fortitude that Elijah had to stay faithful during that time. And then what he was looking for was he was looking for that power from on high. He had that calling. But if you've got a calling and you don't get the power of God and you're doing it all in the flesh, then you're not going to make it. And what Elisha needed was he needed that power. That power was typified in that mantle that fell from Elijah when it came down. And then when Elisha grabbed that mantle, he said, now it's time for me to go forward. And he walks over to that river that when they went where they were going, Elijah had that mantle and he smote that river. And that river parted. So Elisha goes over across with him. The river goes back. And he's sitting there and he's talking to Elijah, and the chariot shows up and takes him out. He watches that mantle fall and he picks that mantle up, which typifies the Holy Spirit and the power of God. He wrapped that thing up and he walked back over that river. He was ready to roll. He walked back over that river and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And he smote that river and that river parted. And you know what you've got to have? You've got to have the power of God in your life. And you got to be ready to go forward when it's time to go forward. And so today, what I want to preach on today is the service of Elisha, him getting in the service and him living his life to the fullest and doing everything for God until the end of his life. And that's what we're going to cover this morning is the service of Elisha. Let's go ahead and have another word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Hugo Henry if you'd pray for us. Amen. Amen. All right, verse 15. Verse 15, it says Elijah, at the end of 14, it says, and Elisha went over. He's gone. He's ready to start serving the Lord. Verse 15. Verse 15 says, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, here's what they said. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And that kicks off the whole start of Elisha's service to God. And it starts here, and it don't slow down until the end of the 13th or 14th chapter. It is on. It is fast. It is furious. It is one thing after another. The people smarter than me said that Elijah had 8 miracles that he did, and Elisha performed 16 miracles. He had a double portion of spirit. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I ain't never counted out. That's what some people said. Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me. He had a double portion of his spirit. But the first thing that I want you to see is this right here. Is number one, is that he was consumed. He was consumed with the work. You have got to get consumed with the service of God. Whatever God's called you to do, you've got to get consumed with it. You say, what do you mean by consumed with it? That it's nothing else that you think about. Man, I was so excited yesterday about how I handled Tennessee losing. And you don't even mean nothing to y'all. You're like, what are you even talking about, Brother Jack? Listen, for years, it derailed me. I mean, I laying in bed and thinking, well, if they'd have caught this, if they'd have done that, if they'd have done this, if they hadn't done that, and why'd they do this for, and that was stupid, and this was stupid, and I can't believe it. I'm going to quit thinking about this, and 2 seconds later, I'm thinking about it again, and just a mess. And then you know what I did? I got my kids involved. So where they were fired up about Tennessee volunteer football growing up. Yesterday, I'm sitting here, and I'm getting ready to watch that game, and everybody's coming over to watch the game, and they said, hey, Stephen and Katie's not going to be here on time. And I said, that's not surprising. But this time, sorry. Then I said, well, what's going on? What's going on? I said, Stephen went over to Neyland Stadium to preach to those guys going into that stadium. I was sitting there, just thinking about something like that, thinking, man, wow, how have times changed in my life and how things have went and how you try to root out those different things in your life. And they get back and they're talking about it and they got a picture of him sitting out there preaching. He got Neyland Stadium in the background and I'm thinking, glory to God. You talk about things that matter, things that's going to count in this life. And I found him asking him, I said, man, that was awesome. What happened? He said, Katie came home and said, we got to do something. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, we're going street preaching. I'm going to hold the sign. You're going to preach. Steve was, amen. It was, praise the Lord, man. I'm like, wow, ain't that glorious? I sat there last night after the game's over and normally be complaining about it and then talk about the whole game and rehash all of it. And last night I'm sitting there and it wasn't 15, 20 minutes. We're talking about the game. And I'm talking about, we're talking to my two son-in-laws and the Joshua there. We're talking about the Bible. Then I think after they left, was talking to Ross about church planting. Then got talking to Brother Jay about what we're going to do with the fifth quarter and what a blessing it was for six people getting saved. None of it was on my mind last night. You say, what is it? I'm not consumed with that anymore. I'm not consumed with the world anymore. I'm consumed with what God wants me to do in my life, and I want to get some things done for God. Don't you want to get something done for the Lord? Elisha, man, he starts here in chapter 2, and it never slows down. He starts dealing with these knuckle-headed sons of God, sons of the prophets, whoever these guys are. I mean, they ain't wanting to do nothing for the Lord. They ain't wanting to do nothing but tell him what to do for the Lord. And we're sitting there, and he's looking at them, and he's talking, oh, we can go see if the Lord threw Elijah up on top of some mountain. Let's go look for him. Elisha's like, he's not up there. He's not up. He's like, go on. He starts off with those sons of the prophets. Next thing he's got to deal with is a bunch of kids calling him bald-headed. Man, don't ever do that. Don't get on bald-headed people. And he's sitting there, and what's he do? He calls two she-bears out of the woods to go tear up 42 kids that's making fun of him. 42 kids get killed in chapter 2. He ain't even out of the hangar yet. And he's sitting there, and he's got these sons of the prophets that's going on. He's got to deal with these kids that's making fun of him. And he goes into chapter 3, and what happens? In chapter 3, they come to him and say, we got a problem. We ain't got no water. We got the enemy coming. All this stuff's going on. He says, here's what I want you to do. Go dig some ditches. Go dig ditches down that field, and in the morning, it's going to be filled with water. And when your enemy sees it, they're going to look at it, and it's going to look like blood. And when it is, they're going to take off and start killing each other. And it's going to be a mess. You see, all that's in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. You got to read your Bible. That's what's going on. That's in chapter 3. Chapter 4, he's got this Shunammite woman, and he says, here's what I'm going to do for you. You ain't got any kids. I'm going to get you to have a kid. And then the kid dies, and he's got to raise that kid from the dead. He's trying to figure out what's going on with the Lord right there. That's in chapter 4. Chapter 5, you've got the healing of Naaman. Naaman comes over to him and says, I want you to heal me of this leprosy. He's like, all right, go down to the river, dip 7 times. He's taking care of that. Then Gehazi messes up. Gehazi gets leprosy because he messed up. You say, what is it? That's in a couple of chapters. He's consumed with the work that is going on. He's consumed with it. It's all he's thinking about. That's all he's wanting to do. You got a call on your life? Are you consumed with it, or you got distractions? You younger preachers in here, you consumed? You been reading your Bible? You know what made Charlie Kirk, one of the things that made Charlie Kirk great is that he, you know what he did? He knew all the material that he was dealing with. He mastered it. All the material he was doing. He would pray and he would learn how to argue about the points that he was called to do. He had a calling on his life and he didn't worry about nothing else. He got consumed with that. Where are you at this morning? How much time he's put into your singing if you've got a voice to sing? Memorizing songs, looking for songs, praying that God will bless you. Are you called to preach? Or you got lost people in your family and you just feel like God wants you to get them people saved? How much time are you putting into prayer on? Elisha was consumed with the work of God. And it continued. I mean, there's famines and there was wars and there were deaths and kings' sons getting their heads cut off. I mean, there's conspiracies and there's revolts. I mean, this thing went on from chapter 2 to chapter 13, chapter 14. It is on the whole time. Consumed. He's consumed with the work. I get thinking about a man that preaches here a lot of times. His name's Andrew Sluter. And I know y'all know him. Great preacher. Great man of God. Got stuff going on. He's constantly preaching away. He's preaching at places. He's got a church going on. You sit here and look at the guy, he's 28, 29, 30 years old, something like that. How old is he? 32 years old. He's 32 years old. He's been coming here for 5 or 6 years. He's 27, 28 years old when he came here. Looked like a man. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, listen to the guy preach. I'm listening to him preach, and he's got God all over him. And I start talking to him, and I hear stories, and I've gathered this and that from him about his life and about what he's done in his life. And from a young man, he wanted to preach, and he would pray, God called me to preach. When God called him to preach, he would take opportunities in his classrooms, in his classes, and they would give him 5 minutes to preach here and 5 minutes to preach there. And he'd preach on hell, tell them kids they're all dying and going to hell. He'd taken up every opportunity. You know why? Because he was consumed with it. And then once he did that, he decided to start a church, and he got in that church over there. He had a building before the building that he's got right now, and he had a church in one part of the building, and he is raising his family and living inside that church, raising his family inside that church. That's where his house was at. People won't give up things like that no more. But you know what he wanted? He wanted God. He wanted to be consumed with the Lord. That's what it was. He was consumed with the work, with the service, just like Elisha. And Andrew would preach, and he would go and he would get on the internet, and he'd preach on the internet. And he did a class down there where he did a Bible Institute online with Brother Peacock. Went through that, went through his doctoral dissertation, wrote a book, did all that stuff. He's only 32 years old. He had that stuff done before he was 30. And I sat there and look at people like that, and I'm thinking, man, what that guy accomplished in 10, 15 years of his life. And I look back and think, what have I accomplished in my life? Elisha was consumed. I was talking to him one day, and he said, what do you do, Andrew? Brother Sluter, how's this stuff work? And he said, I got called to preach. That was the most important thing in my life. He said, I had an opportunity to take a job. It's going to be over $100,000 a year. But he was going to be gone every other week. I said, no, not a chance. He said, I'm not taking any job that's going to keep me from serving the Lord. Turn down those types of jobs, and we think about what do we give up? What distracts us to keep us from totally selling out for what God wants us to do? You young guys that's been in here and called to preach, I'm preaching to you too. When are you going to just cut loose and say, you know what? I'm all in. I'm consumed. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to read. And I'm going to study. And every waking moment I got, every free time I've got, I know I've got to have a job. I know I've got to work. I got to take care of my family. But the hobbies are gone. I'm cutting it loose. Anything, if a job's keeping me from doing what I need to be doing, I'm cutting loose. I'm getting consumed with what God has called me to do. And that's what it's going to take. You've got to get consumed with it.
If you're going to serve God, Elisha, with the service of God that Elisha had, he was consumed with what he wanted in life. Elisha was consumed with it. And it was on the whole time. The whole time you read that book, it's on that way. And here's what you got to realize, folks. As you have a gift, you've got so many gifts that God's given you. You've got those gifts. And for, I don't know, I think the first 13 years of my Christian life, saved at 9 years old, and from the time there to about 23, I didn't do anything for the Lord. I didn't do anything for the Lord. Didn't go to church. I just thought life was about me. It was all about me. When I thought about the future, when I thought about getting married, it was for me. When I thought about a wife, it was for me. When I thought about children, it was about me. What am I going to do with my kids? I want my kid to do this. I want my kid to do that. I want my kid to do this. It was all about me for years until I got into church and I started realizing it ain't about me. It's about God. And God's give you gifts. He's gave you a husband. He's gave you a wife. He's given you children. He's given you a house. You know what? One of these days, He's going to want it back. He's going to want that back. When you get to heaven, He's going to be able to give it back to Him and say, Lord, I used all this for You. You gave me these gifts and I used them for You. You're going to be able to say, I've used them and I've done everything I can do, God, to make it to be a glory and an honor to You. So what are you talking about? Here's what I'm saying. Those gifts, my kids that I had before I was ever even church or anything like that. I mean, I want my kids to be Major League Baseball players and you know, doctors and lawyers and all that stuff, so they could just give me all this money so I could take care of my, and so I could enjoy my life with a bunch of toys. And that's the way it's all about self. Self, self. Selfies. Self-love, self-pity. It's all self. That's all the world's going to tell you. And you get in the Word of God and you begin to realize it's about the Lord. And one of these days you're going to give account for how you raised your kids, how you treated your wife, how you treated your husband. You're going to give, and that right there is what you're going to look at the judgment seat of Christ, and God's going to award you for what you've done, the way you've lived your life, and said, you know what, not me, but for You, Lord. And that's just normal, right? I remember when I was growing up one time, my stepdad was going to Indiana, and he had to go to Indiana, and when he went, he had to borrow his mom's car. And so he borrowed his mom's car, and he drove up there, and he came back, and when he came back, he took it and washed it, and then he vacuumed it out and cleaned it all up really good, and got back to the house, and I said, what'd you do? He said, well, I went and washed and cleaned the car up. And I said, really? How come? I said, you spill something in it? And he said, no. He said, somebody let you borrow something, and it's always stuck in my head. If somebody lets you borrow something, you give it back to them better than you got it. And he filled it up with gas, and he cleaned it up, and he took care of it, and checked out the tires, and checked out everything, and then he gave it back to her in better shape. And God's gave you some gifts. God's gave you some things. Are you going to give them back to the Lord better than He gave them to you? He's let you be responsible. So how do you do that? You get consumed with God. Everything you have in your life, your extra time, all your thoughts and your prayers and everything, it's something that God's given you, and He said, if you'll do it right, you'll be consumed with Me. It'll all be worth it all. It'll all be worth it all. Secondly, look at chapter 6. Chapter 6, and here we have the sons of the prophets showing up again. Still not done anything for the Lord. Look all through here and try to find out anything that they ever did in the Bible. You'll never find it. Chapter 6, here's what it says, verse 1. It says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Well, what a statement. Think about that statement right there. Man, it's just too straight for us. It's too hard for us. It's too rough. It's just too hard to be a Christian. Too hard to live by all these convictions that God puts in us. So what do they do? Let us go. We pray thee unto Jordan and take thence every man a beam and let us make us a place there. You know what they're wanting to do? Wanting something new. They were with Elijah. They were with Elisha. They were with Elisha who had the power of God. you know what Elisha also had? He had convictions. He's going to live like Elijah lived. He was going to live the way you're supposed to live. He's going to live by the old past. He wasn't going to live by nothing new. And these sons of the prophets, they're sitting there saying, man, that way's too hard for us. That way's too hard for us. And there was a separation right there. So first thing you got to do is you got to get consumed. The second thing is you got to be consecrated. There's going to be some time in your life where you've got to get apart and you've got to say, you know what? I'm not leaving them. They're leaving me. You get on this King James Bible issue, you're just divisive. There was just the King James Bible. How are we divisive? It was first. That's what we use. That's what everybody used with the King James Bible. How's the King James Bible crowd saying, we're the ones, how are they saying we're the ones that are being divisive? They're leaving us. They're leaving the King James Bible. We ain't leaving the King James Bible. We've been with the original thing. You know what? The problem is it's too hard. It's too straight. It's too forward. It's too in your face. When you see what the Bible says about how to preach. You know what the Bible said how to preach? You know what Paul said? He said things this. They accused me of being what? Rude in speech. Contemptible. I use sharpness of speech. You know what? They don't want to hear that type of stuff no more. That's what you have right here. That's what's going on. They say, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And he went down there and watched what they were doing. But as far as him and the way he was going to live and the way he was going to preach, he didn't care about that. He's going to continue to do what he was going to do. He was going to be consecrated in what God and His service, how God wanted him to live his life. And that new crowd right there, those sons of the prophets, you know what they want? They want a new Bible. They want a new pastor. They want a new youth pastor. Somebody that's going to wear skinny jeans and girly boots and all those types of things. They want to bring in the smoke show. They want new music. They're going to dim the lights, the smoke show, all that. You say, Brother Jack, you're always hitting that. Yeah, I'm hitting it. You know why? Because the sons of the prophets live today. And they're trying to take our kids and say, look, this is a lot more fun. Well, we're not worried about fun. We're worried about serving. We're worried about being consecrated. You want to live for the Lord? You're going to have to do it the right way. God's not going to change. Those people are going to go. They're going to move. They're going to leave. They're going to do something different. But we as Christians, you know what we got to do? We got to do what Elisha did. What did Elisha do? Elisha said, I want the old path. He said, give me the old past. Give me what Elijah had. I want to preach the way Elijah did. You say, why? Elijah brought fire down from heaven against those prophets. You know what? They brought 50. They brought 50 men out there to talk to Elijah one day. And they said, hey, the king's wanting to talk to you. And Elijah said, boom, fire came down, killed 50 people and that captain. Another captain comes out with 50 men and says, hey, Elijah, the kings want to talk to you. Boop, fire comes down. Killed that guy. Eventually, a guy comes in. He's like, Elijah, listen. Hey, listen. Man, I ain't doing nothing wrong here. I don't want you to... I am. I don't want no fire. You know what Elisha said? He said, give me some of that fire. That's what I want. You're going to preach? You're going to preach with some fire is what you need. That comes from the Holy Spirit. Elisha said, I'm not going nowhere. I don't want a new Bible. I don't want new music. I want the old past. I want to stay with the Lord. That's what Elisha wanted. He sat there. I think about a story about a man named Sam Jones. He was an old lawyer. And that old lawyer there, he became a drunk. He had a rough stomach. Had basically, it sounds like acid reflux is what he had. That's what it sounds like. I don't know. I got a bunch of big medical terms. You know how I am with terms. I told you in Sunday school. So, we'll keep it short and sweet. He had problems with his belly. And he thought drinking would help it. Imagine that. That ain't nothing new, is it? And so he started drinking and becoming drunk. And finally one day he's sitting there and he's looking in the mirror and he says, was this what's become of the great Sam Jones? His hair's all matted up and all this stuff. And he sat there and he said, you know what? I'm done with this life. It came over him one day. And he started preaching. He got cleaned up. He went home and said, listen, he said, he's rough on his wife and his kids, be gone hours, days at a time, come back and beat on them. And he said, the Lord's gave you a new daddy. The Lord's gave you a new husband. I want to know if you'll take me back. She didn't even recognize him when he showed up. And he became a fireball Methodist preacher. He got fired up, got excited about the Lord. He was going to serve the Lord. And when he got started, he got going. And his wife, she wanted him fixed. She didn't want him fixed that much. I mean, I just assume you live, do right, but I'm not wanting to be a preacher's wife. That's what she said. And she said, if you're going to do this, you're going to do it on your own. And he said, Laura, listen, this is what the Lord wants us to do. I want you to help me. And she said, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it on your own. So she went to bed that night and got really sick. She thought, well, Lord, get ready to kill me over this thing. Said next morning she got up and made him some gravy and biscuits and some bacon and got him a breakfast together and said, I'm with you wherever you go. And from that moment on, they went and they started preaching. He started preaching. You know what happened? Listen, this is what would happen when you keep it right. He would go into towns and have revivals. And people, they would shut beer joints down. And they would stay down for years. And you know what he'd do? And then people would quit cussing. They would quit cussing in the towns. There's written documentary about these things. You say, what is that? What was so different back then? It wasn't nothing different back then that is today. He had God on him. He had the Holy Spirit on him. I mean, we're sitting here looking at the fifth quarter Friday night. 36 years we've been doing this. The same water hole. Fishing out of the same water hole. Out of there at Scott High School. Bringing them down here. Asking them to come down here. Giving them food. Giving them pizza. Cooking them hamburgers. Cooking them hot dogs. And that hole is still giving us fish. Still God's getting fish out of it. You say, what is it? It's not a different time. It's not any of that stuff. It is God moving on an event. It's God moving when somebody wants God involved. And Elisha, he had him involved. He was consumed, and not just consumed, he was consecrated. There was an old riverboat captain named Tom Ryman that listened to Sam Jones preach. And he got talking to him and went to a tent meeting with Sam Jones. And he said, man, Sam, listen, this is the greatest thing that's going on. And he was a rich guy. He said, I'm going to build you an auditorium, a place where you can preach, and you can come and preach all the time. And he made it not far from where that Sam had that tent revival. And when he made it, he said, I don't want my name on it at all. I don't want my name mentioned with this tabernacle at all. I just want it to be called a tabernacle of preaching, and I want Sam Jones to be able to come here and preach all the time. And that's what they did. They had revivals there over and over and over, and that's what that auditorium was built for. And then as years went on and Sam Jones died and Tom Ryman died, they eventually put his name on it. And they named it the Ryman Auditorium. It's in Nashville. It's where the Grand Ole Opry is at today. That was built for Sam Jones to preach. You know what he had? He had the old time ways. He had the old past. The old Methodist preacher that said, you know what I need? Is I need the fire of God. I need the fire of God. And the last thing is this. Talking about the service of Elisha. He was consumed with what God had gave him to do. He was sold out. He was consecrated. And the last thing is this right here. He was consistent. He was consistent. As you go through here, and I'll make this short, but he was consistent. And as a preacher, as a Christian, or whatever you're doing in life, you're going to have valleys. You're going to have hills. And you're going to have valleys. And your reaction during those times are going to determine whether or not you accomplish your life the way it is. The way it works is this right here. He would have a problem. And then you can look at it. He would go seek the face of God. He'd pray. Look over at chapter 6. Look down verse 17. Look at verse 16. You got this Syrian army here that shows up. You get to verse 17. It says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And they thought they were surrounded. But there were angels behind that, and they weren't surrounded. And he said, his servant, open the eyes of this servant so he could see all those angels that said, we're not surrounded. They're the ones that are surrounded. And then he says in verse 18, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, and said, smite this people. Verse 18, 2 Kings 6:18. Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Just took it. You say, what happened? He prayed. He had a problem. You got problems? You got problems going on. You got trials. You got troubles. You can't stay faithful to God. You can't stay in the book. You can't pray like you're supposed to. God will help you. God will help you. He'll give you strength. He'll give you courage to act like we're supposed to act. It comes from God. The reason Elisha finished the way he finished, and he finished his life on top, where he was fighting the whole time, is because he stayed consistent. Every time it gets through there, it gets a problem, it says, and Elisha prayed. And Elisha prayed. And Elisha seeked the Lord. And Elisha went after God. Every time. He's going after the Lord. And after that, you know what happened? There was a victory. Our problem is this right here. We try to do too much stuff in the flesh. We try to get organized and try to get all these different organizations and try to, you know, rely on programs, and this is the new way that you're going to get, you're going to build a church, and this is the new way you're going to do that. It ain't going to work like that. It never worked like that. God don't use programs. You got to be organized and you got to have some programs. But that's not what God honors. God honors men and He honors women that submit to His will, and they pray and they say, God, I need you on this scene. I need the fire, God. I need to see you do something, God, like you did with Elijah and like you did with Elisha, Lord, and like you did with Sam Jones and you did with William Booth. God, do it again in my life. But we're too distracted, and we want it convenient. We want it to happen now. We want it to work now. God says, it don't work like that. You got to come after me. You got to come after me. You want me to work on your behalf? I will. But it's not. I'm not Santa Claus. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to have your service like Elisha's service, like the service of Elisha? Get consumed with God. Especially the preachers, you younger preachers, get consumed. Just get saturated with the Word of God, and people like Sam Jones and people like William Booth, and see how they live their lives. And God used them. God will use you. Not if you know more about Tennessee football than you do about the missionaries that we support in this church. You know more about your job, and you know people that's dealing with your job, and people that the next town over, or this or that or whatever. When you know more about all the stuff that's going on like that than you know about your own church or about the Bible, and you're a preacher and you think God's going to bless it, He ain't going to bless it. You got to get consumed. And you got to get consecrated. And you got to be consistent as a Christian if you're going to be successful like Elisha was successful. All right, let's all stand. Miss Robin.